Does this sound like you? You're setting your goals, you're all excited, you sign up for a program or even go buy all of your groceries for a new meal plan. And then when it comes to actually starting, you lose your desire. You literally feel zapped, motivation gone. Why is that? And is there anything we can do to change it? On today's episode, let's talk about how to hack your motivation. I have some tips that might just help, so grab your coffee and let's get into it. Welcome back, everybody.
What up, what up, what up?
It is another episode of Candidly with Coffee.
Yes, it is.
Welcome back to Candidly with Coffee, the show that gets candid about everything.
Yeah, we don't hold nothing back at all. You know,
I think I like to reiterate what we are every once in a while. We are like having coffee with friends. That's how we think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, like when we first started this, we just would talk. We didn't even have nothing structured. We just talk like we talk at home. And we just share with people. And next you know, we're doing one podcast, two podcasts, and this thing growing like a flower.
Yeah, it's literally like coffee with friends, like not a snooze fest. We're not science class.
No.
We're just having coffee. We're just cheers. So anyways, cheers on cheers. That note.
Yeah. Remember cheers. How we said it is, yes, we want to educate. People ain't trying to go to school to listen to us. We don't like it complicated because I see things online, like, for example, YouTube, and they got this whole drawn-out formula about this and that. Oh, you lost me. Forget it.
You lose me. I tune out.
I'm done. Yeah, it's too much. Sensory overload. Bye-bye.
Yeah, and that's, like I've said before, that's what we are. We're entertainment, educational, and entertainment. Yeah, I would definitely say we fall under educational, but
of course.
But also entertaining.
Yes.
Because we just, I don't know. We just have
to. And we're ourselves. We're not trying to pretend to be something else. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got to be my own character. I'm not trying to be this or the person I'm not. No, it's fake.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is episode, what is this? I think it's episode 497. It is, you guys. It is episode 497. And I do have some news. Episode 498 is going to be co-hosted by none other than my daughter, Alyssa Morris.
Check that out. I get a break.
Yeah. So she is going to be joining in studio. She hasn't even been to the studio yet. So we're excited about that. I'm excited that I finally got her. It's right before her birthday. Her birthday is coming up March 21st. And so what a good opportunity to have her in.
And this time will be a better experience for her because the first time I think her nerves are getting the best of her because she's like you.
Yeah.
She's overthinking it, or like me, an overthinker. Yeah. But once you get her comfortable and settled, your daughter, she can talk. She can flow.
Yeah, I think that after the last one, it built up her confidence because everybody was so nice in the comments on that episode too, which I thoroughly appreciate.
Yes.
Like I said many times before, we've really created like a really supportive community.
Yeah.
And it shows even in my challenge groups. Like, I've been doing BBC challenge groups for a while, since 2020. And since the shift has happened where the podcast has grown and the majority of the people that make up the challenge group literally came in from the podcast.
Yeah.
I can tell the difference in the sense of community,
yeah.
Like the camaraderie and they literally become friends.
They do.
And I feel like that with even in the comments and even on the YouTube lives and stuff, I feel like people are communicating with each other or in Patreon. And I do love that.
That's true. I see it in Patreon as well. But check this out. You said something very interesting the other day. Is we could have hid my situation from the world, not told nobody nothing, not documented, not talked about it. Like, oh my God, we don't want to show my vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
A stroke got him. You know what I'm saying? But instead, we shared with everybody. We informed everybody, and everybody was very supportive. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Opened up a lot of people's eyes. And probably the ladies is probably pushing them to push their husbands to get their blood pressure checked and themselves too.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's nice. It definitely is like a sense of community. And speaking of community, help us out by making sure you're subscribed to this channel. Follow our Candidly_with_coffee Instagram. Share.
Please share.
Like, especially if there's a particular topic that we talk about and you know that particular topic might resonate with someone, share that particular video or podcast with that person, like ADHD or the stroke episode or whatever it may be.
Yes, exactly.
Share that particular episode. And we just launched off topic episode 4 And so that's up on our Patreon, and that is all about Mike's various incarcerations.
Oh my God. My little stories of from the streets to jail, a jailbird, whatnot, my experience in that capacity.
Yeah. So anyways, so take a look at that. You guys, Patreon is growing. That community is really blowing up, and we're really excited about that.
It is.
I actually also have another announcement. I just officially booked my niece, whom was raised more like my sister. My parents adopted her as my brother's daughter when she was an infant. She's going to come on not only the podcast, she's also going to come on Patreon. So on the podcast, we're going to talk about her weight loss transformation and emotional eating, because that is something she struggled with, emotional eating, and her grief journey and her weight loss transformation. Because she's, I think I mentioned it on here, but if not, it was the live where I talked about, I'm going to kick off like a series of interviews on documenting various weight loss transformations with people who did different things to lose the weight. Just to share that not everybody finds different things that work for them.
There's a blueprint, but there's a blueprint for everybody. Everybody has their own path, the way they take it, you know?
Yeah. So she's going to share that, but then she's going to stick around for also the after show and then an episode of Off Topic for the Patreon on narcissism and growing up in the household with my parents and their dynamic. Because she has some interesting information that's come out in her therapy, as well as the fact that she lived with my parents the longest out of all of us. She stayed there until she was 31 years old.
Wow.
We all left early, a decade sooner than that.
Yes.
So she was there the longest, saw a lot.
Saw the most.
She's willing to open up about it. So I'm excited to have her on the show. I think it would be very interesting. It's going to be very interesting for me to hear some of the things she has to say too. I think she needs the release personally.
Yeah, that'll be good. Because she doesn't have to hold back on Patreon. She could let loose, let it out, really spill the beans.
Yeah. I know she's discovered a lot of things recently in therapy. So yeah, I'm excited to have her on. In other news, I want to have, there's a couple of hot coffee topics that I want to touch upon.
Here we go.
The first one is, what have you heard about, like, the drama with Kate Middleton?
That photo,
like, she's missing
the photo editing.
Yeah, like,
or is there something more behind it?
Well, there's a lot behind it. So she hasn't been seen publicly since Christmas, like 3 months.
She had a health issue. I know that.
Yeah, and
that I don't know what it was.
But no one has seen her. She had abdominal surgery.
Yes,
but nobody has seen her since she had the abdominal surgery, and they're being very vague about it.
I thought, hold up, if I'm going crazy, I thought she was in a car with somebody, family, and then she got out to show people she's okay. Or was that
did that happen?
I saw it on TV. I can't tell you when.
Or wasn't recent? No,
yeah,
that
recent.
Must not have, like, today?
No, not today.
Okay, then no, because the latest that I had seen was that they have not spotted her. She has not been seen. And so there's a lot of speculation on maybe she's sicker than they're saying, number one. Or number two, they're separated and heading for divorce. And they want to keep that under wraps because the dad has cancer. And they're not even specifying how serious that cancer is. And
it's serious. All right. I think it's pancreatic, if I'm not mistaken.
So there's all of that. Something is amiss with that whole situation.
Sounds like the royals are blowing up.
Yeah, then she put out this photo that I'll put up on the screen that is totally photoshopped, and it said Happy Mother's Day, and it's her and the kids. It's totally photoshopped, so that got taken down pretty quickly. And then she put out a tweet on her joint Twitter or whatever account, X account with the prince, that, oh, sorry guys, like, I was playing around with Photoshop, as I sometimes do, and I badly edited that photo. Please forgive me. I took it down. No. First of all,
that did not
happen.
No.
Because it was not her. She did not edit that photo and then come out. Do you know how many layers of people have to look over a picture that goes out from the royals? It's not, you don't just have access to just tweet whatever you want.
No.
So something is weird. They're trying to paint a story and a picture. Something is not right.
I could have swore I saw on TMZ that the guy who took the picture came out and apologized about editing the photo. There's a lot of weirdness going on with that family.
There's a lot of weird secrets going on with that family.
Yep.
What I do know for sure is that it's not what they're saying. It's something different, and they're going about it very poorly and trying to figure it out. But anyways, I don't know. Let me know if you guys heard anything. Do you guys know any inside scoop or more than me? But comment, let me know.
It feels like since Mama Bear left, Mama Bear, the queen, now everything's kind of imploding.
Yeah, it's not as organized.
No.
Yeah, it's a hot mess. And then the other thing that I wanted to talk about, something you brought to my attention, what is going on in the porn industry?
Dude. They're dropping like flies. One was like a home invasion murder. I don't know the details. I didn't look into the case. Quite a few of them have been suicide, some drug overdose.
There was four prominent adult film stars that are very prominent in that field.
Yeah.
Died within the last 90 days. Four of them. One was found unresponsive. One was an overdose. One was found murdered or whatever.
Yes.
Four. That's just crazy.
And then the one that me and you talked about were Santana Row, and I was like, hey, babe, you heard about that chick? Her and her boyfriend, they're trying to blame the boyfriend. Can you believe it? They both OD'd and died. And people in the comments, I just want to read, we're trying to go after them. People, they both died together. There's no case.
He's
dead. What, do you want to charge his dead body with the crime?
I just quickly
want to charge the man, though, like it's his fault. Like, wait a minute, we're both doing drugs together. Maybe one live, one die. So they always want to pin on somebody. But they're both dead. They both OD'd. Of course.
Fentanyl.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know if it's because drugs are rampant in that field. Now, of course, why is it that whenever something happens, and I'm one to talk because I'm just basically saying the same thing with conspiracy on the Royals. But even with this, there's a lot of conspiracy theories because people have been recently trying to expose the adult film industry for all kinds of stuff. And now they're dropping dead, like the people that are speaking up about the adult film industry or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think so. No, it's not that deep. It's not nothing to go against the government or something. If you're talking on the government, you have some crazy information, then I'll call that a conspiracy. But this, no.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Nah. I just think it's funny that any little thing that happens, and it's a conspiracy of some sort, or Illuminati or something.
Yes,
or
the Illuminati, there you go. Because everybody said, off topic, John Cena came out for the Golden Globes with just covering his front on. People started saying that it's part of the Hollywood Illuminati. He has to do it.
No, and that is for sure, that was to do something outlandish so that everybody can talk about him because he's in that movie that we watched that on Prime. What is it called again? Rickety something?
I don't know the name. It was a funny movie, though.
I don't know, but it was a funny movie.
Ricky Stenicki.
Oh, that's what it was.
It's a funny name. It's like a made-up character, and he became that character.
Yeah, so anyways, I think that's why. And you know what? It worked, because would we be talking about John Cena had that not happened?
Everybody's talking about it. Social media, TMZ, you name it, it's out there. He did something. Guess what? Then you go back and you watch the Golden Globes, give the ratings up. Because no one watches that no more.
I mean, the Oscars.
I'm sorry, I said it wrong. The Oscars. Because boring.
You didn't watch the Oscars?
Yes, I have my cup of coffee excited by the TV. Like, yes, let's go Oscars.
Hey, a lot of people have Oscar parties. You know that?
Yeah. Boring.
You don't want to have an Oscar party? No.
Never in my life. I can honestly say, without a shadow of a doubt, that's a no for me, homie.
All right, moving on to Comment Corner. Jesse2499 says, I just found you guys and you are just what I needed. 49-year-old going through perimenopause. I was ready to give up and accept that I'm just old now and this is it. But you have given me life again. Thank you for your videos and hard work. You are changing lives. I love this comment so much.
Yeah, and Jesse, hell nah, don't say that. We're not getting old and don't give up. A lot of people feel that. Listen, you're only as old as you feel. What I mean by that is, I know I'm 49, almost 50. You are right behind me, but we're not old because we keep ourselves young and youthful. Mm-hmm.
I always say this, we have a lot of life to live still.
A lot of life.
Let's make it good.
People act like the grave's coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, this is just it. This is my last year. Man, you better turn it around. We could be in here another 30, 40 years.
Yeah, and it should be the best of times because you know that most people really find their true success and like really become millionaires and things like that. They're in their 50s.
Yes, 100%. And also another thing is you really learn about yourself as you get older. You have a lot of life experience. You've been through the bullshit. You've gotten whatever the stuff that you had to get out of your system is behind you now. Now you hunker down and you get more serious with life, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you just really know what you like.
Yes.
You just have it figured out a little bit better. I don't miss my 20s when I didn't have it figured out.
I didn't know what I was doing in my 20s. I just knew partying, drugs, and the gym. That's it. Yeah. I didn't have nothing figured out.
Yeah. So Yeah, you definitely, it is not too late. We do not throw in the towel.
No.
And I'm glad you found us as well. And hopefully we can help keep inspiring, because that's the point. That's actually the purpose, the whole purpose for my channel is to show people that you can be stylish, you can be fun, you can do all the cool things, be fit and healthy, and at any age, whether you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, you can. Who says that you have to stop doing certain things at a certain age? Like, that's just ridiculous.
Not at all. You should be youthful, man. Think about it. It's not how you... Yes, it is how you look on the outside, but it's also your mind. Make your mind youthful. Make yourself playful. Mm-hmm. Have fun. That's okay. You don't have to like, oh, I'm just old and decrepit. I'm just going to crawl in a hole. Nah, don't believe in that. Don't believe that hype.
Yeah. And okay, moving on to the next one, which is Debbie Herbert, and says, I'm so inspired by your words. She was referring to episode 496 on building self-confidence, boosting of self-esteem. Going to look at just losing 5 pounds to start with and go from there. I can almost feel that relief of small goals. Thank you. She's referring to, we talked about the importance of setting small attainable goals so that they don't seem like such huge mountains to climb. So I'm happy that she's going to give that a try.
Yeah, exactly. Got 100 pounds to lose? Take it 5 pounds at a time. You're 10 pounds down. You're a tenth of the way there. The next thing you know it, you lost another 10. You're 2/10 of the way. You got to look at it like that. Break it up.
Yeah, break it up. It works with everything. It yes. works with also with saving money. If you need to save $100, okay, you're $10, you're a tenth of the way there. It really does help to break it up like that. You do that to me all the time when I tell you something, you break it up. You go, oh, yeah. A third of the way.
Because you set some pretty lofty goals for your YouTube channel. And you broke those goals. And I'm like, wow, babe, you're mm-hmm. a third of the way mm-hmm. past that now to 100,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
Feels good. Like yeah. you're a third of the way there.
Yeah, because my goal, I'll put it out there in the universe, by the end of the year is to get the play button, the YouTube play button, which is 100,000 subscribers. It was a very lofty goal. And it's a big goal. And so now I set little goals week over week, month over month to get myself to that big goal. But it was big and I was not on pace to get there.
No.
It was technically not a realistic goal, but I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to just shoot for the stars and get that play button.
And I think a lot of times we hinder ourselves by that. Like we either dream too little or we think, no, we can't achieve that. So I'm just going to think small. Hell no. Go for it. Tell yourself, hell yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go for it. Next thing you know, your mindset shifts and everything just starts shifting along with it. And you're like, wow, I can't attain that.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about visualization and motivation later on in this episode. But just to put it out there, and you guys can remind me of this when it happens.
Yeah.
One of the things I visualize is see right over my shoulder here. I have that cube that has the Kennedy with Coffee logo on it. In that spot is going to be my YouTube play button. Next year.
That's going to be dope.
So that's my visualization. I actually picture it there. I'll probably Photoshop it there pretty soon and put a picture of it on my phone. But
that's good though, see?
Yeah.
Because you're visualizing it and you're manifesting it and you're working hard towards that goal.
Yeah.
And it's not going to happen by itself, but it makes you work harder and do more to get to that mm-hmm. goal.
Yeah, and we're going to get into that specifically. I have some theories because I've been... In preparation for this episode, I listened to several different podcasts about motivation and gleaned little pieces from different
gems.
Things that I've heard. Yeah.
Picked up some gems from them?
Yeah. And
some gold nuggets?
But in addition to that, I have my own gem. I had my own aha moment that clicked for me that I didn't hear anywhere else. It was just an aha moment for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if... It's talked about, but I think you guys are going to like it. So we're going to get into it pretty soon. But before we get that, I have one more comment, and it's Roses133. I loved this comment. It made me feel better, actually. My therapist says, if you have to ask if you're a narcissist, you are not. A narcissist would never ask themselves that question. It made me feel better because I felt the same, being that my mother is one. My biggest fear was that I would somehow affect my children, being that I was raised by one. But somehow I think they are turning up pretty happy, adjusted young adults. Don't worry, Janine. Your sympathetic, compassionate nature is no way that of a narcissist. That made me feel so good because I truly have stopped and asked myself, because I've talked before about how I'm a confident person. I feel like I try to be really good at things and I'm like, oh my God, I like when my kids are good at things. I'm like, oh my God, am I just making them like be overachievers like my dad did? And
there's a difference. You're a confident person. You're not a cocky, arrogant person. You know what I'm saying? And to answer your question is, you should ask, would Michael Escobar be married to me if I was an artist?
No, I know. You said that before, okay? I give you the kudos. You would not be married. But it's a serious fear that I had, because when you're raised by a narcissist and then you start learning about narcissism, you stop and really ask yourself,
yeah,
could I be? But I love that she pointed that out, and I think that is so true. A narcissist would never call themselves a narcissist. My dad would be appalled if he even knew or could comprehend what it was. Because he's always the victim. He's always the victim in every drama my whole entire life.
Yep.
So there's no way he would ever say, oh yeah, that's me. So yeah. I thought that was very interesting and very much appreciated. So I really thank you so much for doing that. It literally made me feel better, because I've had more than one occasion I've asked my kids if they think I'm a narcissist.
You're funny. Come on, man. No way. Hey. At least you want to be mindful and aware. Am I going to become one? No. If you're not one, that's not your personality. You're going to all of a sudden overnight become one.
No. But I do believe this. I do believe that it is important, even if you do take some negative attributes from your parents or you develop negative attributes, half the battle is being aware of what those negative attributes are and being willing to work on them.
Yeah.
And because the problem lies when people are completely not self-aware, like, oh, that's 100%. Not me.
I'm guilty of that. We just talked about that with my addiction.
Yes. That's and you didn't really start truly curing over the course of 5 years, really, it took cure your addiction until you actually admitted you had a problem.
Yeah. And you know what's sad about this? I wish I could go back in time. Is my mother tried her best to protect me from this. Why? Because her father was a violent alcoholic. So she knew in her heart, like all mothers know, like my kids could become like my father. So she tried to protect us from becoming that. And she tried to protect me. And
she told me.
She told, exactly. Mm-hmm. There you go. She told you.
She did not want you drinking. She said it was very dangerous for you to be drinking.
Yeah.
Because of your bloodline.
How does she know? The immigrant mom, so mm-hmm. smart. Mothers have a special intuition and instinct, man. And she was right.
Mm-hmm.
She was right 100%. And I wish I could tell her sorry, and I wish I would have listened better.
She was so right when it came to that. But all right, you guys, let's move on to motivation. Okay. How the heck do we hack motivation? Listen, I know a lot of people, I know you say it all the time. Motivation is bullshit. Do not rely on motivation.
Okay. I read something interesting about motivation. It's just a feeling. Comes and goes. Some days you might be charged. Today's a sunny day. I'm fired up to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was gloomy. I had to drag my ass there. Mm-hmm. So it comes and goes. Mm-hmm. So that's motivation.
I like that you say it's an emotion.
It's an emotion.
I like that. So what is motivation? It is a desire to act in a certain way. It is having the desire to do something. Like, I desire to pick this up right now and drink it. Like, I desire, and that's why I'm going to do it. If I don't want to do it, don't you remember, like, your kids when they were growing up? I don't want to. I don't feel they have no motivation to go clean their rooms. You're never going to have motivation to do, like, basic things. It's just never going
to
happen.
You're so right about that. It's time to get up to school, kiddos. No, I'm tired. Mm-hmm. Or they try to pretend they're sick so they can stay home. Come on.
My stomach hurts.
Yes. Come on, man. Stop BSing. Get your ass up and let's go.
So it is the force that makes you take action. That's what it is. It is the force that makes you take action.
Yes, that's so true. You're right about that.
If you have no motivation, you don't feel like doing something.
Nope. In lieu of, when you don't have motivation, that's where discipline kicks in. The willpower. Mm-hmm. I wish I could remember the name that Huberman said.
I remember it. Anterior cingulate cortex.
Oh my God.
Why did it come to my head
now? You said it right. So explain to the people, explain to our audience what this
No, you explain it.
So basically here, this is where I heard it. I'll break it down for you guys. And you can go research it yourself on YouTube. I heard Dr. Andrew Huberman interviewing David Goggins, and he was so excited to tell him this. Like, why fit people, basically, we use fit people as they have strong willpower versus obese people do not. And that was the cause right there, is because the anterior cingulate cortex, which is the willpower part of your brain, the front part of your brain, gives you the strength to say no to things and say yes to the good, basically.
And it grows every time you engage it, you utilize it. So every time you do something that you don't want to do or that you're not motivated to do, that part of your brain grows. Now, it is dynamic. It goes in both directions too. If you don't use it, it will shrink. So you have to constantly always practice using it, which means you have to use discipline to do the things you don't want to do when you lack motivation so that you can grow that, because it'll get easier. It's proven now, scientifically proven. And I'm a big believer in Andrew Huberman. He's a very wise man.
I wish they did a study of how many people can actually drive by when they're hungry. Hungry, where you're like, I'm dying, I'm starving. You could drive by a fast food restaurant, not adhere, not go to it, mm-hmm. not give in. Mm-hmm. I wonder what the percentage of people would be.
Mm-hmm. I must have a big anterior cingulate cortex.
Yours? Yes.
Yeah, 100%. I built that over time. And you it was funny because I was just I was looking around my room today. I have about four different places in my office that I have some of my favorite chocolates and candies. And I don't, and that's my anterior cingulate cortex constantly working. That I'm keeping that sucker working, because I look at it, ooh, that looks good, but nope, I'm not going to do it. It's because I've built strong willpower over time. But we're talking about motivation. I know, I do agree with you that we should never rely just on motivation.
Nope.
We should rely on discipline, all of that. But isn't it so much freaking easier when we're motivated?
Of course it is. Especially if you have, let's say you got a goal, like I want to lose 30 pounds in 6 months because I got this event coming up. So you're extra motivated to do that.
Exactly. So it's so much nicer when you're motivated. So even though I know that we shouldn't rely on motivation, and I know we have to build discipline and willpower, but I still want to. If I have the power to be motivated more often because I know how to channel it, then I want to do that.
Yeah. Like, I'll be honest with you, okay? I'm going to keep it 100% real with you. When it's gloomy out, drizzly, whatever, cold and wet, and I know it's not going to rain, I am not motivated to take Pablo, my French bulldog, on a 3-mile little walk, a little journey. But when it's nice and sunny out, mm-hmm. I'm extra motivated. Why? I want the vitamin D. It's beautiful out. The birds are chirping. That mm-hmm. sunshine just gets me extra charged up. Mm-hmm. I'm being real about that.
Yeah. So, but if you knew how to get motivated more easily, wouldn't you want to do that rather than say, no, fuck that. I'm not going to even try to get motivated. I'm just going to rely on my discipline. No, you're going to want to get motivated as often as possible to make life easier. Why not? Mel Robbins defines motivation, by the way, as it means you feel like doing something. Like, it's easy, an easy action that you actually want to do. That's motivation. I listened to a podcast where she was talking about motivation as well. Motivation, the chemical in our brain that's directly connected, it's called the molecule of motivation, is dopamine.
Dopamine. And listen, I'm going to be real with you again. Did I feel like doing those walks was gloomy? No, but I did it because chasing the feeling. I know I'm going to feel good afterwards. Yeah. I know I got my steps in. I know I needed to do this. I have to. And you got to make it non-negotiable with yourself.
Yeah, because if you can channel that feeling of you're going to feel better after, if you get really good at channeling that feeling, this is what I believe. I don't know. This is not something I've heard, but this is what I wanted to talk about. I feel like if you get good at channeling that feeling, you can almost trigger your own little dopamine dumps.
That's true. I agree with you 100%.
I think so. I think that I had this freaking aha moment in my car, and I was thinking to myself, this is how I've done it. I'm a little freaking dopamine junkie. I feel like I'm a secret like dopamine junkie. That's why I visualize. That's why we talked about it before, but that's why I watch the movies and listen to the songs that remind me of things, because I'm literally a dopamine junkie. I think it gives me little dopamine hits.
Well, two podcasts, not last before, you said pertaining to weight loss. Don't chase the weight loss. Chase the feeling. And that makes a lot. Chase the feeling of mm-hmm. losing that weight. Chase, mm-hmm. I'm going to battle with myself and I'm going to win this battle. And watch this. And that feeling is different.
So dopamine drives you towards things that you crave or want. This little nugget I got from the Mel Robbins podcast. So you have to crave or want something in order to have motivation to do it. So what are the biggest things that actually cause us to get dopamine? What are some of those things that like trigger dopamine? It's like the worst things. Social media, sugar, sex, cocaine. Do you know which drug?
Did you just say sex?
Yeah, dopamine. So that's why people get sex addicts.
Ah, I got you.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's just, like you said, an excess.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying when you get addicted to those, they're dopamine junkies.
It could be bad. Yes, of course.
But do you know which drug is the drug responsible for the most dopamine? So it triggers the largest amount of dopamine release when you take this drug. Do you know what it is?
Ooh, you got me there. Let me think. Drug, right?
Drug.
Alcohol?
Crystal meth releases more dopamine in the brain compared to any other drug. Dopamine is a brain neurotransmitter that serves a number of functions, including the feeling of pleasure. When crystal meth leads to a powerful surge of dopamine in the brain, people feel motivated to seek it out again and again, and they will stop at nothing to get it.
Okay, here, I got something to say about that. She's right, and I'll tell you why. I never did crystal meth ever in my life. But I will say this, in the 90s, the rave scene was deep. The house techno scene was deep. And a lot of the ecstasy that was in the 90s, that was coming out in the 90s, was cut with the tiny bits of crystal meth. Because when that pill hit you and it peaked and you're in the club and those lights are going, oh, you feel like you're on top of the world. Mm, it is like scary. The most happiest feeling on planet Earth. So I agree with you on that. And they're extra motivated if you notice that. People want crystal meth.
So are the crystal meth junkies the ones that when we drive through the city, we see them looking on the ground? They're like looking all over they're looking on the ground for like little shiny rocks or something?
Those are more like crackheads. Oh. Okay, I'll make you an example. A lot of times people will have a mechanic who's addicted to crystal meth. And this mechanic will work day and night. You have extra energy motivated to get that car fixed. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It worked for that $10, $20, $100 for his next fix.
Yeah. Okay, so remember that the guys that moved us into our house, do you think they were they crystal meth?
I believe so. It's possible, I think.
You think, guys, we had the craziest experience. It was a bad idea. We got referred like to these guys to help us move. They were movers and years ago when we moved. And they were just junkies.
Yes.
You guys,
it was all bad. I got mad at my boy. Like, why the F would you refer us to these dudes, man? I ought to paid more just to get some professional movers, man.
Never again.
We're lucky they didn't rob us.
Yeah. Anyway, so you want to create a crave and a want. So this is my epiphany. This is the epiphany that I had with creating motivation when it's not there. Doing the things that you don't want to do in a motivated state. How do you do that? How do you create motivation for something that you don't want to do? If you get really good at visualization, you can visualize yourself. If you know you have to do this, like I need to go work out right now. Why do I want to work out? You have to know why you want it and what it is that you want and why to be able to try for this to work. What do you want? I want a hot body. Okay.
Yep.
Why do you want it? Because I am going on vacation in July. So those are my what and my why. Still don't want to go work out right now. It's raining outside.
Yes.
Then what you do is you stop and you literally picture yourself in the hot bikini, walking out that day to the pool, feeling super confident. You're feeling the sun. You've got a drink in your hand. You're feeling the whole vibes and you're feeling yourself feeling so proud. Yes, I freaking did it. Feel it, taste it, smell it, and there's your dopamine. You'll get a little, if you get really good at visualization, you will get the little dopamine you need to get that motivation, to get the sneakers on, and to go do your workout.
I agree. That's a good way of looking at it. And visualize, hey, listen, if it takes extra motivation, say for you single ladies, and there's some attractive dudes in your head that by the poolside, and they're all staring at you like, wow, use that too. Whatever works, man, because that's how we did it as men. When we used to think of pool parties in Vegas and getting in shape, we visualize that.
Yeah.
Like, wow, when the women, like, wow, look at these dudes. They came in shape. They look good. I swear to God, we would vision that. I would when I was single back in the days.
I did too. And so what I didn't realize is that I was creating literally, I'm a dopamine junkie. I was craving the little dopamine and I was using that. Then it would motivate me to do what I needed to do, even though the task itself wasn't something I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I was getting motivated because of the power of visualization was so strong.
Yes.
And that's why visualization works. This is interesting. So when I thought about this, I thought, I'm going to look it up. Does visualization trigger dopamine? I didn't realize it at the time. And I'm in my car and I'm like, so I go home and I look it up and it says, when you visualize an experience, your brain processes it processes it in the same way as if you were actually living through that experience. The process triggers the release of neurotransmitters, including dopamine, which can help improve your mood and motivation.
Wow.
So if you get very good, this is why meditation works. This is why people manifest all of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is because you literally hack your brain into getting motivated to go do a workout or to go grocery shopping or to go meal prep. Not because you're actually motivated to meal prep, but because you are on this loop in your head of why. Because you got to, if you don't have that figured out, then this, none of this is going to work. You have to know what it is that you want and why you want it.
Yeah.
True. Because you're going to call upon that all the time throughout this process. Because if you don't know why you want it, I've tried to talk myself out of motivation too, or try to talk myself out of things going, why do I care? Why do I even want?
You said that to me several times. Why do I care? Why am I so vain? I'm happily married.
Yeah. Like I try to do, and I'm like, no, that doesn't last very long. But if you can, so if you can figure, if you can master visualization, you can literally hack motivation and get motivated to do even the littlest things. So for example, I'm not motivated to clean my kitchen, but instead I stop and think of the feeling, and I do, I know for a fact I get a little dose of dopamine. Like when I cleaned the fridge the other day.
You get excited about that. I never cleaned the fridge, y'all.
I wasn't motivated to clean the fridge, but I was motivated because I sat and thought, no, but I love that feeling of when I open it and it's clean, and I visualized that. That gave me enough little dopamine to motivate me to go clean it, and then the surge of dopamine when I'm cleaning, finally wiping down the counters when it's all done, and then I open the fridge and I look inside and then I close it. And then guess what? You get home and I'm so proud of the fridge being clean, so I open it again. And guess what? When I open it again, what do you think happens again? A little more dopamine.
Another rush of dopamine. What's funny is I wonder if I get dopamine from just, some people just don't care. They leave their bed and disheveled because I'm going to go to sleep anyway. So why make it? I have to, when I don't make it, it's either I'm being super lazy for whatever reason, but 99% of the time I just autopilot. I have to make the bed.
No, I 100% think all of those little things that we do on a daily basis, part of the cleanliness and all of that, is because that is what's giving us our little dopamine hits.
So, yeah. And if I see anything out of place, or if I need to clean up and tidy up a little bit, I just autopilot. I don't even think about it. I just do it. It doesn't seem like a hard task. I guess no. Some people, for them, it's impossible to do. For me, it's nothing. Easy.
When we experience positive thoughts, such as feelings of accomplishment, love, or joy, dopamine is released in the brain's reward pathway, which creates a sense of pleasure and reward. This reinforces the behavior and encourages us to repeat it in the future. So if we do something and we get a strong feeling of that dopamine, it's very satisfying. Guess what? We're going to be more likely to do it again and again. And that's how routines and habits form.
Yeah, exactly. I know what you mean. And I'm going to get a little off topic here. So when I was incarcerated in federal prison, a lot of guys just let themselves go. They get disheveled. They look like absolute shit. Me, shaved. I got my hair cut every week in there. I maintained like I was still living in the outside world. You know what I'm saying? I kept my true self, bed made, my living quarters clean, just... I didn't fall apart. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I didn't, my gym's going to fall apart.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't allow that to happen. And I would check whoever's with me, my cellmate, hey, this is how we live and this is how we're going to do it. You don't like it? Go find another cellmate.
Yeah. Yeah. What do I always remember? I used to say, I need to put myself back together. So if I'm really busy and I got to get my nails done, I got to get my hair colored, I got to put new set of lashes on, I start to feel like, but then when I start to put myself back together, I feel good. And that feel good feeling is literally little, like dopamine releases.
That's so true. You always say that. You always say, I can't let myself fall apart for too long.
Yeah.
Because then you start feeling, then you don't feel good about yourself. You start feeling down, and then you put yourself back together, you feel good.
Yeah.
A lot of people should follow that advice. Put yourself together, man. Don't let yourself fall apart.
Yeah. And so on the Mel Robbins podcast, she was talking about how you have to create a crave and a want for something. You have to crave it. Like the dopamine is a craving.
Yeah.
It's like a craving, and that's what's going to get us motivated to get it. And then it made me realize that we do this. This is what we do for cheat day. When we start talking about cheat day several days before, and we're planning out what we're going to have and all of that, we're creating a crave and a want, and then we're satisfying that craving on Saturday. We're following that pattern like exactly.
Gotcha. You're right. Because we always adhere. Do we have to do it in the week? Stay on top of our macros, maybe even pull back a little bit so we have the extra calories for Saturday so we can enjoy ourselves.
Yeah.
Because you want to enjoy yourself guilt-free. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be, oh my God, I had the pizza, now I feel so guilty. That's dumb. Yeah. Just enjoy yourself.
So the problem is, and where hacking your motivation comes into play, is we don't crave doing basic daily things, right? But that's where in the Mel Robbins podcast, she talked about, hey, dopamine won't rescue you when it comes to the things you need to do. But I actually think that could be disputed, because I do think you can still get dopamine dumps to do the things you need to do by visualization.
Yeah.
I think like you can get a little surge of dopamine, which in turn results in motivation, by visualizing the reason why you're going to do the things you need to do. Visualize making the bed, washing the bedding, right?
Yes.
Visualize that feeling when you get into bed and it's a crisp, clean sheets and you put on some aromatherapy. Visualize you take a hot shower and getting into bed like, ooh, yes, that's such a good feeling. Okay, that's enough for me to convince me to do it. And then when you do it, and then you do have that feeling, you get into bed that night, you go, yes, this is what I wanted. Then you get even more dopamine.
Yep.
And your brain remembers that. So next time, it's not so difficult. And like I said, that's how I believe routines and habits are born. That's why you make the bed every day, because you like that feeling of getting into a clean made bed. You like that feeling, and now it became a routine, and now it's a habit.
Yeah. Also, another thing that I have to fight with is the cold. Sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I'm looking for every excuse to talk myself out of a cold. Now I got the ice barrel thanks to you, but there's always that looking for that little excuse to get out of it. But I tell myself like, no, you got to do the hard things because you're going to be happy after. And it's 100% right. I always feel good after.
It legitimately actually releases dopamine when you do that.
Yeah.
You're a little chunky too.
I must be. I just know that it's hard and it's challenging. And I know 90%+ of society ain't going to do it. They're going to look for a reason not to do it. They're going to talk themselves out of it. A la you. You don't want to do it. I'm not going to force you. But for me, I want to do it because it's hard. I want to do the hard things in life.
I do not. I have zero desire to do it. I'm not, never say never, but as for right now, I'm not interested at all. And listen, I don't want to do this podcast to tell you guys like, okay, only do things when you're motivated, only go be a dopamine junkie. I'm not saying that, but I truly am. If you're aware that you can try to leverage motivation sometimes to make life easier, then why not try to leverage it? But on the same token,
for sure,
it is very important to learn to do the things you don't want to do, even when you're not motivated. That is just, unless you really figure that out and get accustomed to doing that, you're never going to really achieve big goals, because it just doesn't happen. The minute that when you set your goals, you're super excited when you're setting them. But when it comes to actually do the things and the work that it takes to achieve those goals, all the wind is out of the sails.
Yeah, exactly about that. And another thing you've been pushing me to do, and I keep it honest, is I hate doing videos. You know what I'm talking about? Like any kind of food videos, because I feel like I'm trying to talk through it and it's not natural to me. Like here I flow, I could talk forever, but there I'm trying to explain how I'm doing it, and I know they come out good and people seem to be loving them, you know, because I'm showing people how we eat and hacks and whatnot, but it's not natural for me, you know.
But
what I'm
saying? Will be natural. What do you always say? What do you say when it comes
reps,
to that
reps? It's not that I'm shy in the camera, I'm not
no,
afraid
you're not.
At all. no it's just because it's a different kind of format.
Yeah, it's different, and you'll get better. Just like when we first started this podcast, you weren't
I wanted to take a nap.
Are now. You literally fell asleep sometimes.
I remember.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
I still do not buy your bullshit excuse that you said my voice is relaxing.
You know what it was too? Is I wasn't in good shape. My energy level wasn't there, and my frequency was low, for being honest, compared to now. You see the difference?
Yeah.
Even after it came off my weed withdrawals, it was terrible. I was struggling to do this. I had to get away from that. My headspace wasn't right.
That was the absolute worst. I wish we could really, like, I wish I could really hammer home to you guys how unhinged Mike was during the weed withdrawals. He was literally unhinged.
And I still argue with people to today. I even told my sister this. She's probably going to hear this. Jessica, if you're listening. She said, oh, weed's not addicting. I go, excuse me? Who told you that? A lot of people who smoke weed or in that industry or whatever. Oh, it's not, huh? I beg to differ.
Yeah.
You can ask my wife. I had withdrawals for 2 weeks straight, night sweats. That's withdrawals. When I withdraw off of Xanax, same thing. I had night sweats. So, yes, it's addicting.
No, just even your mental state, it was like you were completely out of whack and off balance. It's almost like your chemicals had to readjust, recalibrate. Yes. Because you're hacking, you're altering the chemistry in your brain when you're doing something like that and on a daily basis.
On a daily basis.
And that was one of the hardest things that we had to go through with you at our household.
It was hard because I created a bad habit. One, excessively smoking. Two, I was so used to it. Like, I used to walk in the garage and smoke every night. And I remember I caught myself when I was walking in the garage, like, wait a minute, I don't smoke weed no more. Where am I going? Yeah. Or I was in there and I was like, wait a minute, I don't smoke weed no more. I'd turn around and go back out.
That's crazy.
Isn't it crazy? So my story, the moral of this story is, create those habits so it becomes like autopilot, you guys. You know, the good habits.
Make the weed walking into the garage the same as walking over to the treadmill.
Yes.
You know, because you can do that. And I do believe, which I'm sure that true science podcasts and stuff might beg to differ, but I do believe that we can leverage the motivation and become motivated to do the basic things. I do believe that we can do that because we can just remember the feeling after. Like I've said before in a couple episodes ago, chase the feeling.
Yes.
Remember the feeling because that might get you, that memory of the feeling might be enough to get you to do the act that you don't want to do just to get to the feeling.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you something that's going to blow your mind away. Who are the most motivated and successful people in the world?
I don't know. Oh, drug dealers. No.
You're close.
Homeless.
Addicts.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
I'll tell you why.
You're right.
You're going to be like, what? Heard this from Wes Watson.
This is so true.
I gotta be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it best. And it blew me away. I'm like, addicts? What the hell is he talking about? But addicts will go to the end of the earth to get their fix. Uh-huh. No matter what it takes. They don't care if they go to prison. They don't care if they have to die. They'll go through that steel concrete wall to get their fix.
Uh-huh.
So when they flip that mindset and say, you know what? I no longer want to be an addict. I want to turn into a successful person. They remotivate themselves into that direction. And I'm seeing more and more addicts do that.
Yeah, because they know what dopamine is and they're craving dopamine.
Yes.
That doesn't go away.
No.
The crave is still there for dopamine, but they channel it into things that are not drugs or alcohol to get it by doing exercise and achieving their physique dreams and their dream job and their cars and they channel it. That craving for the dopamine never goes away. You just channel it to other things. And they are really good at chasing the dopamine. That's what I'm trying to say. Like,
true.
Maybe if we become a little better at chasing the dopamine in a good way for the good things, maybe we'll be motivated more often and it can help us get in the right direction. Because like I said, I know you cannot rely on motivation. That's not good advice to rely on motivation.
No.
You have to do the hard things. And we talked about that, the anterior cingulate cortex, right? Develop that, do the hard things. But if you can also really hone the craft of visualization, it is going to help you tap into those dopamine tanks a little more often and help you when it's extra hard.
That's so true. And it works. I've done it many times in my life. You know what I'm saying?
Me too. I started to think about when I lost my 100 pounds originally, like, how did I do that? How did I stay motivated? And it was because I was visualizing what I wanted to look like.
That's what it was.
I would always visualize it. And so when I would have a weak moment or whatever, I would think about, no, imagine like when you're able to go try on this clothes and everything fits. And that I just constantly was in my brain visualizing. I think Aquariuses do a lot of visualize. We do a lot of stuff internally in the brain.
Yeah.
that we keep quiet. And I find that I visualize things quite often. And I think maybe there's been times where in my life hasn't gone according to plan or as good as I'd hoped. And it's because I lost sight of visualizing for a while. I got so caught up in the garbage that I stopped the visions.
You were stuck in your own way, in your own head. Like Joe Rogan says, you're in your own way. Mm-hmm. You got to get out in your own way. And I use that same visualization in federal prison. I went in heavy. And I remember staring at myself in the mirror, and I remember thinking, yeah, I know what I want to look like. I'm gonna change my body in here.
Yeah, and you use that tactic a lot with clients, too.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Like I tell them, look in the mirror. What do you see? Look beyond what's in that mirror. Look at what you want to become. And I've used it now. At this later age, I've achieved my dream body thanks to you teaching me macros, and my body changed. Like you said, it's going to change, and I put in the work, and it did at this age. And I'm almost 50 years old.
Yeah. I love it because you were at home with me, so it's easier, but I'm just like, listen, what's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is it doesn't work. Just follow your macros, give it 3 months, and then if it doesn't work, you do whatever you want.
Yep.
But it was obvious. It was even obvious after 3 months, you lost 20 pounds. Your body was completely different.
Way different.
But it was way obvious even before the 3 months. Why? Because you weren't trying to trick the game. You weren't tracking. You legitimately tracked and followed your macros. And they work. And that's how macros work. The problem is people try to, play the game a little bit.
Yes, they do. They try to cheat the game. And I'm one of those people. I'm all or none. All in or not. Just like my addiction. One day I decided I didn't want to drink no more. I had no problem with alcohol. I just said, no more. Done. One day I said, I quit weed. Instead of scaling back, I just cold turkeyed it. And it was hard, but I'm all in or not. That's it. Same thing with macros. Once you showed me and I made a decision in my head, all right, I want to do this. I want to learn this. I want to change my body. I was all in. There's no half-stepping.
Yeah, I think that's the key. The key is to dedicate. You have to commit to it. For it to work. It's not going to work if you half-ass it. Yeah. You can't track some days and think, oh, I'm tracking macros. It doesn't work. Did you track on the weekend? That's what cracks me up. I actually shared a post from somebody else on social media that they put, hey, coach, I think you should lower my macros. They're not working. They track Monday. They track Tuesday. They only partially track Wednesday. They didn't track their cupcake on Thursday. On Friday, they went out to eat dinner, didn't track at all. Saturday, they didn't track anything and ate everything. Sunday, they're like, I didn't lose any weight this week. Can you lower my macros?
No. No, you didn't adhere to the program. You didn't follow what you were supposed to follow. You're trying to cheat the game, and it doesn't work. No. And they always want to, the problem with people is they always want to blame external sources, external things. Mm-hmm. That's where that scapegoat came from. They always want to scapegoat something. Mm-hmm. No, that's all you, man. You better look in the mirror and be honest with you. You messed that up. Not the program you're supposed to follow. Mm-hmm. That's you.
That's why I am so glad that, obviously, I'm on HRT now, but I had gained quite a bit of weight on menopause in a short period of time before I started HRT. I'm so glad I lost that weight. It was not easy, but I lost all of that weight before my HRT came in. With hypothyroidism, on menopause, I literally felt like I couldn't eat a single calorie over my low macros in order to do it, but I did it and the weight came off. It was not easy, but it just proves that even with conditions, hormone issues, age, all the things, the macros still work if you're on the right macros based on what's going on with you. Obviously, my macros were pretty low. I had to get them pretty low because the weight wasn't coming off. And now I know why they had to go so low, because I had the hypothyroidism. I didn't know it at the time, but I kept dropping them until the scale started to move. I'm like, yeah, something's up because this is, I'm not budging. And then they moved. And so macros still work if you're tracking the right ones. If you're on macros and tracking, but they're not the right ones for you, then they're not going to work.
Nope. Everybody has a formula for their body. We all have a bank account to our body, meaning how many calories you are allotted to use every day for your body. Same thing as money. How much money do you have to use for your body every day? If you have the wrong money and you're overdrafting every day, you're not going to lose weight. And I love that you did that. You lost the weight without the HRT. Mm-hmm. And you even had doubt. You asked me, you think the HRT is really going to work? Do you believe in it? Mm-hmm. You kept like lightweight question. I was like, you'll see. Watch.
Mm-hmm. Now, my body changed with the HRT. The muscle is obvious. Like I was able to put on muscle and I feel stronger. But the weight came off without the HRT. So that's that was important for me to experience that, because I've always believed that and I've always talked about that. I've done tons of videos on it. But there's just something so beautiful with experiencing it so that I can really with 1,000% talk to my clients and be like, look, no, like I know we just got to figure out the sweet spot for you, or you need to go to the doctor, get your hormones tested. Some of my clients are so, they're like, yeah, I tested my blood work. It was like a year ago and it was fine. I'm like, yeah, mine was fine from 6 months before, and then suddenly I had hypothyroid. It doesn't mean that it's still fine. If you are on macros that should work for you, because I'm pretty damn good at figuring that out. If you're on macros that should work and they're not, you're either not tracking them correctly, you're making some mistakes in your tracking, or something is going on with your blood work. Some sort of maybe hypothyroid, maybe PCOS. You've got something going on that's impacting your metabolism, and these macros aren't right for you. So it's one or the other. And it's hard sometimes, because sometimes I just want to be like, are you sure you're measuring that nut butter? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure that you're not? And then it's funny because...
Are you sure you're not sneaking into the cookie jar and grabbing a cookie or two and not...
And you know what's interesting? A couple... And I know we're off topic, but this is why we have a Patreon show called Off Topic. We always do this. But yes. I want to share this really quick, because a lot of times I have to ask a million questions and I feel bad because I feel like my clients are thinking like, you don't trust me. But then I have aha moments, and I'm going to share two aha moments that I've had pretty recently with clients. One... For whatever reason, my client didn't ever think that she needed to track what she was cooking in. So cooking oil, olive oil, like she would use a cooking oil because she's thinking, oh, it's to moisten the pan. It's not getting on the food. No, it's getting on the food.
It's getting on the food,
You're
yes.
putting oil on your pan.
Yes.
That's a significant amount of calories. That yep. has to be tracked. You're talking like that could be upwards of 200 calories per meal. In oil.
And another thing, when we go out and get coffee, we measure and track our creamer. People think that's free calories. Creamer adds up quick.
That's another one. So creamer and liquid calories, like just in general, they're not thinking that liquid calories count. Absolutely it counts.
Yes, they do.
And then another one is like protein powder and collagen, because they think that, and this might be maybe my misinformation at times, my misspeaking, or there being a misunderstanding, because I don't track supplements, meaning I don't track like fish oil or a gummy vitamin that's 5 calories or something like that. I just don't track supplements, but I do, and you need to track anything with a significant amount of calories in it, protein powders, collagen powders.
Yes.
That stuff has to be tracked because that's a significant amount of calories.
Yeah, like I don't track my electrolytes. I don't track my creatine. But collagen, yes. It's, I believe the one we have by One Up Nutrition is 60 calories.
Yeah.
And your protein powders are very important. Those are not free calories, people. Look at the back of the nutrition label.
Yeah, so those are some experiences that I have had.
Yeah.
So it could be something like that. And sometimes it takes a series of questions to really get to that answer with people, because it's just, I'm not thinking of it. I'm like, you're not tracking your oil? That's 130 calories for a bloop in the pan. When you do this in the pan,
yeah,
that's 3 tablespoons.
Yeah.
This.
And we had an aha moment with me too, where I'd be getting coffee a lot, you know, from Starbucks or whatever. And I tell them light creamer and I watch them pour.
Yeah.
Dude,
a quarter cup.
That's a lot. They pour a lot. Like, yo, I don't need that. I just need a little pinch. But they don't know that. They think light is just...
I can tell by looking at the color. It's never light. It's never light.
No.
A pour like this is going to be a quarter cup. How many times have I measured? Like, you guys, I've been doing this for so long.
Yeah.
I can grab a regular spoon and putting it into the jar of nut butter. And 9 times out of 10, I will get it to the gram, 16 grams. Like, I am just, because I've been doing it, like you said, reps on reps. I know a pour is a quarter cup. So if you're pouring oil on a pan, quarter cup of oil. Do you know what a quarter cup of oil is? 4 tablespoons. That's 520 calories.
Yes. Yes.
Where did the oil go when you go to serve your food on your plate? There's no oil lingering in the pan. It's in your food.
Yeah, and there's a reason that when we eat out, let's say you order salad, which I watch you do a lot of times, salmon salad, chicken salad, whatever. You always tell them 100% of the time, dressing on the side. Because those dressings, you said, man, this is like 400 calories just in dressing alone. And you just dip it a little bit.
Yeah, because that little silver thing is 4 tablespoons. It doesn't seem like a lot.
Nope.
You put 4 tablespoons of a dressing that's oil-based, again, it's about 500 calories.
But Janine, I'm not losing weight. I'm eating salads all day long. You forgot to mention the oil. Hello.
Yeah, and even the perception of ordering clean things or whatever. So, like, I was actually talking to Mauricio about when he's estimating his food. I said, yeah, even if you order things that are, like, you're perceived to be good, which is good. That's a step in the right direction, yes. Like a salmon salad.
Of course.
Always log a minimum of 1 tablespoon of oil with a restaurant meal.
Yeah.
Because they use oil.
Yes, they do.
They always use oil. So at the very least, you got to account for some of it, even if it's probably more than that. That salmon looks a little greasy. It's probably 2 tablespoons.
Yeah, I know.
Steak, eggs. They're using oil when they're making your stuff. I know you're great. I ordered an egg white omelet. Yeah. Touch it with your finger and go like this and look at your fingers. Yeah, they used oil.
Yep.
Where's that? Are you tracking that? Always pad your tracker with 1 tablespoon of oil. I'm not trying to get you to be disordered eating because I don't do a lot of that stuff. But when you are trying to figure out your sweet spot of your macros, you want to know what you are actually consuming.
Yes.
So it's better to log all of it and know that, oh, okay, I didn't lose any weight, but I ate a lot of calories more than I realized.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to know that than to not know it and to guess and to spin your wheels. So it's not that you can't do it. It's not that you can't go over. It's just that let's actually know what you really consumed instead of underestimating. It's better to overestimate.
People always underestimate. I believe Americans are like 1,000 to 1,500 calories a day underestimating.
No, they say it's like 25% minimum you eat. When people say, I don't eat that much, it's you're eating way more than you think you're eating. And if you're tracking 25%, tracking, you're off by 25%. That's half your deficit. So if I'm trying to create a deficit for a client of about 500 a day and they're off by 25%, chances are they're eating 250 to 300 calories more than they're logging.
Yep.
If you're not tracking and you're just eating and trying to guesstimate, oh, I probably eat about 2000 calories a day. You probably eat about 3000 to 3500 calories a day.
You can't. Trust me, you ain't that good at it. Everybody thinks they can guesstimate things, and they're way off. I won't even guesstimate things because the next thing you know, there's times where I have forgot to log certain things, and I log it. I'm like, oh, shit, I went over thinking I was good, but no, wasn't.
All right, we got off topic. Sorry, guys. But anyways, let us know what you think. Do you think it's possible to hack your motivation with a little dopamine dumps? Are you good at the visualization and all of that? Give it a try and let us know what your thoughts are on that. I'm curious.
And before we go, what questions do you have for our audience?
I already asked them multiple questions.
Okay, make sure.
Hey, do listen, you have a question?
I do have a question for you while we're on visualization. So when you're visualizing your play button, 100,000 subscribers, what are we going to do? What do you plan on doing?
It's going to be exciting. Celebrate it?
Yes. We're going to celebrate with our people. What are you going to do?
Oh, I don't know.
What are we going to do?
I don't know.
To throw up a little turnip party.
A turnip party?
Yeah, in the studio. Non-alcoholic.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll definitely have to do a little something.
Yeah, that's my question I have for you.
What are we going to do to celebrate 100,000 subscribers?
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's a hard feat to climb.
Especially if I meet the goal. If I meet the goal and by December, we got to do something to celebrate that.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be. Yeah.
What do you guys think? Maybe there's the question. What do you guys think we should do to celebrate the play button? Because you're part of it. If you're a subscriber of this channel, you are part of that. What should we do to celebrate 100,000 subscribers and meeting that goal?
There you go.
All right, you guys. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of Candidly with Coffee with Friends. That's what I like to think about this. And for some of you, join us over on the after show because we are headed right into the after show. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you next time with Alyssa